Right. So we are on Daf Nun based Omed Aleph. If you remember, the last thing we discussed was they made this tikkun, the tikkun gadol in the Beis Hamikdash, and the question was they certainly did so for positive reasons, but why would they have done that? Or rather, how could they have done that? After all, you're not allowed to make any alterations to the Beis Hamikdash. Dovr HaMelech specifically told Shlomo HaMelech, HaKol B'Ksav Miyad Hashem, everything is written and recorded exactly the way it should be built, no more and no less. So how can you go about making changes? That was the question. So the answer was, let's have a look, the very, very last words at the bottom of Nun Aleph on the base. It says, Kro Ashkechoi V'Dorosh. He found a pasuk. He found a pasuk which he darshaned. Says Rashi, the bottom Rashi, Tzorech Lahavdil Anoshim Mi Noshim. He found a pasuk that tells us quite clearly that you have to separate the men from the women. V'laso is Geder V'Yisrael. You have to make a geder, you have to make a fence there. Shelo Yovoyu Lidei Kilkul. So that nothing will go awry, that no kilkul. What does kilkul mean? Yeah, no destruction, no mistake, no error will come about. He learnt it from a pasuk. Therefore, it's true. You cannot make your own addition or your own change to the Beis HaMikdash. But this wasn't his own change. It was prescribed in the pasuk already. It says you have to make these this geder in Klal Yisrael. And therefore, he was merely following the pasuk. So which pasuk indeed was it? So we now turn over. Nun Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says, the pasuk in Zechariah. And it says there, V'softa ha'oret mishpachos mishpachos Levad. What does that mean? Mishpachas Beis David Levad Unashehem Levad. Beis David was separate, the women were separate, says Rashi. Benevuas Zachariah. This is referring to the prophecy of Zachariah Hanovi Umisnabe Laosid. And he is prophesying what will happen in the future. Sheyispedu. What does that mean, Sheyispedu? They will eulogize. They'll say a Hesped al Mashiach ben Yosef. Although in a moment we'll see exactly who the Hesped was for. But as we know, there is Mashiach ben David, but prior to that there's Mashiach ben Yosef who gets killed in the Melchama of Gog u'Magog. So when they say a Hesped for him, Shenerag ben Melchamas Gog u'Magog, and it says there, V'ktiv v'shpachas beis David levad u'nashem levad, quote unquote. She'afilu b'shas hatzar. Even at a time of pain and sorrow, tzorech lahavdil anoshim minoshim. One has to separate the men from the women. Now, what does that mean? Afilu b'shas tzar. What does that mean? Even.
So much more so at a time of joy.
Right, because at a time of tzar, there's less chance of frivolous behavior, and nonetheless, the Torah clearly, the Navi clearly describes the necessity to make the Beis David Levad, and the Shehem Levad. So you clearly see the importance of it. And it's what the Gemara now stresses. V'haloi, says the Gemara, Dvorim Kal V'Choyma. This issue is a Kal V'Choyma. Uma le'osid lovi. If already in the future, she'oiskin behesped, when they're dealing with a hesped, ve'ein yetzehora sholet bohem, and you would have thought that the Yetzer Hara is not Sholet. What does that mean, not Sholet? He doesn't rule. He doesn't govern. Nobody stands up in the middle of a Hesped and has a great taiva to be over an Avera. And nonetheless, Omra Torah, the Torah still said, sorry, Anoshim Levad, Venoshim Levad. Well, if that's true, comma, Achshav Shasukin B'Simcha. Well, now that they're being oisik b'simcha, what does that mean? When's now? In the times of simcha, based on she'eva, the yetzahara sholet bohem. Here, the yetzahara is sholet bohem, because a time of great joy, and you would have thought that there will be a time of a big taiva for frivolous behavior. Alachas kamo v'kamo. So all the more so the necessity to put up this geder between the anoshim and the noshim. So if it turns out they made this tikkun gadol, it wasn't just an invention that they did of their own volition. Rather, it's clearly prescribed in the Pasuk that even at a time of tsar, one has to have this separation. Kol shekein at a time of simcha, where there is all the reason to believe there will be frivolous behavior. So kol shekein, you have to have the geder, you have to have the mechitza between the anoshim and the noshim. Now, says the Gemara, ho hespeda mai avidita. This hesped that you mentioned in the pasuk, mai avidita. What does that mean, mai avidita? What's its nature? What are we talking about? Which hesped? Which hesped is being prophesied about? Pligi bar Reb Deisa v'Rabbanan. Says a machlekes between Reb Deisa and Rabbanan. Chadomar. You know what? Sorry, we missed out a couple of Rashi's. Excuse me. Let's just have a look at a couple of Rashi's. She'asukim bohesped bo'isosho at that very time. V'hamitzdair, somebody who is in tsar, enoi mekel roishoi maher. What does that mean? Enoi mekel roishoi. He's not frivolous. He's not light-headed quickly. Void shein yitzhara shaylet. And besides, yitzhara anyway has less control at a time like that. Could the kamakra, as the pasuk will say, the Gemara will bring this pasuk later on, when it says v'hasi roisi es leiv ha'even. Olakamon omar shakonu baruchu shoychatoy etc. Omratira etc. We will see all of this later on in the Gemara. So at a time of tsar, a person is much less inclined to be frivolous. The Torah also has less control then. However, says Rashi, Kan shasukim simcha, v'kroiva l'kalus roish. Here he is much closer to lightheadedness and frivolous behavior. V'oid sh'yetzora sholet achshov. And also the yetzora is sholet now, l'kol shekein. Now what does this mean? We're going to see that the Yetzer Hara was shechted. So at the time that this hesped of the Mashiach ben Yosef is going on, there's less Yetzer Hara. So we really have two reasons to think that perhaps there's no necessity to have a Havdalah between Noshim and Anoshim. First, there's no Yetzer Hara, and also because there's a time of Tzar. And nonetheless, the Torah says you do have to have the Geder. Kol Shekein at the Simchas Beis Hasheva when there is a Yetzer Hara, number one. And number two, it is exactly the type of time where you would have thought that frivolous behavior is more likely because the time is Simcha. Kol Shekein, therefore, you have to have a Mechitza. Okay, so let's go back into our Gemara. So we're discussing a Hesped. Question is, Hesped for who? Ho Hespeda Mai Avidate. What's its nature? Who's Hesped? Pligi bar Reb Deisa v'Rabbanan Chad Omar al Mashiach ben Yosef. One says it was the hesped for the Mashiach ben Yosef, as Rashi mentioned at the top. Mashiach ben Yosef gets killed in the Molchama between Gog and Magog prior to the Bias HaMashiach. V'Chad Omar, the other opinion says no, al Yetzahora sheneherag. The Yetzahora gets killed. Lost it, lava, in the future the Yetzer Hara gets killed, as we'll soon see, the Gemara will describe it in great detail. So what's the obvious question?
Very joyful, really.
So if the Yetzer Hara is being shechted, being killed, why are we utilizing? Why are we should be delighted? Make a kiddush. Says the Gemara, Bishloima Lamando Amal Mashiach ben Yosef Shneherag. It's all fine and well according to the opinion that says that what? That the Hesped is for Mashiach ben Yosef who gets killed. Hainu Dixiv. That is what's being written about again there in Zechariah, where it says, Vehebitu Eli, Eis Asher Dokru. V'softu alav kemispeid al hayochid. It says quite clearly that they gave a hesped al hayochid. What does that mean? Says Rashi. V'hibitu elai es ashedokru yistaklu. They will. What does yistaklu mean? They will look. They will watch. B'haroig Shelifnehem, on the murdered one before them. That's Mashiach ben Yosef. Vesof to Olof, kemisbed al ayochid. Ka'odom ha'masbed al ben yochid. Like a person who says a hesped for a ben yochid, shehoy aloi, that he had, umeis, and then died. So it's clearly prescribed in the pasuk that there's going to be somebody who gets killed, and a hesped for him. So that makes perfect sense that we're talking about the Mashiach ben Yosef. Question is, Elo, says the Gemara, back into the Gemara. Leman da Omar al Yesahara Shenerag. Elo Leman da Omar al Yesahara Shenerag. But according to the opinion that says it's referring to the Yetzirah who gets killed, obvious question is, Hai hespeda boi lemevad? Is that what we have to do? We have to make a hesped? Surely, to the contrary, we would say exactly the opposite. Simcha boi lemevad. We should be very full of joy. So what's a hesped for? If it's the Mashiach ben Yosef, as the Apostle clearly describes, like a ben Yochid, very big tragedy, so there needs to be a hesped. But if we're talking about the Yetzirah, there should be a hesped, there should be a simcha. Why would you say a hesped? Says the Gemara, very, very famous Gemara. Says the Gemara, again, hi hesped bo lemeivad. That's what requires to make a hesped. Simcha bo lemeivad, amai bochu. So why would they be crying? Says the Gemara, Kedudorash Rabbi Yehuda, as Rabbi Yehuda famously made a drasha la'osid lovoi. It says, in the future, maybe Hakadosh Baruch Hu leYetzahara. Hakadosh Baruch Hu will bring the Yetzahara v'shoichatoi, and he will slaughter him b'fnei hatzadikim or b'fnei harashayim, before the righteous people, before the wicked people. Tzadikim nidmelohem kahar gavoya. For the righteous people, what is nidmelohem? He will appear to them like a very tall mountain. Vereshoim nidmelohem, and to the reshoim he will appear to them kachut hasaro, like a hair's breadth. Halalu boichin, v'halalu boichin. They'll be crying, and they'll be crying. So, this is all very cryptic at the moment. We'll try and explain in a moment. They all see the two groups, the tzaddikim and the rishoyim. They see the Yetzirah very differently. In fact, not just differently, but in fact, the opposite way. The tzaddikim see the Yetzirah as a har gavoya. It's a very tall mountain. And the Rishoyim see the Yetzirah as a string of the hair's breadth. And yet they're both crying. All very vague at the moment. Says the Gemara, what are they crying about? Tzadikim boichin. The tzadikim cry, v'oimrim, and they say, Heich yecholnu. How are we able, lichvoish har kavoya kazeh? How are we able to capture, overcome this enormous mountain? Oh, so we'll have to see what type of tears we're discussing. So again, the tzaddikim, for a moment we're just translating, we'll try and explain in a moment. The tzaddikim who see the Yetzirah as a har gavoya are crying because they say, wow, how are we able to overcome this enormous mountain? Okay.
How were we, or how will we be able to?
No, past tense. Heich yecholnu. How were we able? V'rashoyim boichim, and the Rashoyim cry for the exact opposite reason. And what do they say? V'oimrim, and they say, Heich lo yecholnu. How were we unable? Lichvoish eschut hasairo has a. How are we unable to capture this mere hair's breadth? And that's why they're crying. Let's have a look at Rashi. One Rashi. tzadikim boichim shenizkorim, because they recall, they remember, b'tzarom, their great pain, shehoyo lohem lichvish, that they had to capture harosho hazeh, this wicked one. Who's that? The Yitzhara, b'chayehem, in their lifetimes. So what does that mean, shenizkorim b'tzarom? So why are they crying? Because what are they recalling? So they're not crying in joy. They're crying when they recall the pain. How difficult it was to overcome the Yetzer Hara. And that's what we're recalling. We're reliving those difficult moments. That's the way Rashi learns. If you look, however, in the Marashah, the Marashah, I'll tell you outside, the Marashah has a very, very novel interpretation. A very novel interpretation. Initially, he quotes Rashi, and he says, Rashi's Pirush is very doichik. He doesn't like Rashi's Pirush. Why? Because we're talking about tzaddikim, la'osid lovi. What does it mean, la'osid lovi? It means they're no longer alive. Maybe they come back in tchiyas sameishim, but they're looking back at their lives and they were pretty successful. They became tzaddikim. So why are they crying exactly? So Rashi says, no, they're crying when they recall the tsar that they had initially when they had... It's a bit of a difficult chat, says the Marashah. Imagine somebody who has very poor years and he works very hard and day and night he becomes a multi-millionaire. So when he recalls those days where he's going to cry, it's painful for him. I mean, he did very well in the end. So the Marashah initially suggests, maybe to the contrary, as you said, Rabbi Yosef, maybe it means tears of joy. Wow, Baruch Hashem, look what we did. We had a struggle with the Yetzer Hara and we were successful. Says the Marashah, however, that's also unsatisfactory. Why? Because at the end of the day, this is referred to as a hesped. Remember, the Pasuk and the Navi says there's going to be a hesped. And the Gemara says, why is there a hesped when the Yetzer Hara is shechted? Surely everybody should be delighted. And what was the Gemara's answer? No, everybody's crying. Well, if the tears mean a tears of joy, then we haven't really answered the question at all. So why is it a hesped? So l'chayah, that would back up Rashi that we're really talking about tears of sadness. And that answers the Gemara's question. The Gemara says, if it's Mashiach ben Yosef, I understand there should be tzar. If it's Yetzer Hara, there should be simcha. So what does Rashi say? No. There was tzar. Why was there tzar? Because they're recalling the tzar that they initially had whilst trying to overcome the Yetzer Hara. But Marshall doesn't like that either. Because as we mentioned before, at the end of the day, they became tzaddikim. So the Marashah finally settles on a middle pshat, a very, very novel interpretation. He says as follows. Right back in the beginning of time, there is a posuk, and Chazal comments on this posuk in a very, very, very strange way. Right back, Pashas Bereishis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the world. And the Lashon of the Pasuk is, Vayar Elohim es kol asher osa v'hinei toiv ma'oid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw everything he had made, and it was indeed very good. You know what Chazal refers to say? Toiv ma'oid ze hayetzahara. Plug that back into the Pasuk. How do you now read the Pasuk? HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw everything he'd made, and it was Toiv Ma'oid, meaning he'd created the Yetzer Hara. Well, why is that Toiv? Wouldn't life be much more simple, plain sailing, easier without the Yetzer Hara? Why is that Toiv Ma'oid? So, Marashah explains in a very, very beautiful, and it's a very, very important lesson that we're being taught over here. He says, because ultimately, if there wouldn't be a Yetzer Hara, then there wouldn't be a struggle. And if there wouldn't be a struggle, then you wouldn't earn your Olam Haba. In other words, if life was all plain sailing, easy peasy, then it's true we'd have an easy life in Olam Hazeh, but there'd be no Olam Haba. Because Olam Haba is precisely what we earn for having overcome the difficulties presented to us by the Yetzer Hara. So that's what the Pasuk means when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and saw it was Toiv Ma'oid. What was the best thing about the world? The Yetzer Hara, because ultimately that is the ticket into Olam Haba. Says the Marashah. So when the Yetzer Hara gets shechted, that's why there are tears. Because the potential now to earn Olam Haba has just disappeared. So therefore, that answers all the questions. At the end of the day, it is a hesed. How upset we are that the Yetzer Hara has gone. Why are you upset? No more struggles, exactly. Because it's precisely the struggles in life that earn us Olam Haba. Therefore, these tzaddikim look back and they say, listen, how did we become tzaddikim? Precisely because we overcame the Yetzer Hara. That ability, that potential, no longer exists after the Yetzer Hara has been shechted. I think I've mentioned, Moshe Zedek, I'm sure you would have heard this in a parasha shir or two. There was a book written a number of years ago by, I don't want to say by who, but by a very famous Talmud Chacham in Yerushalayim, who is the son of one of the most famous Gedolei Yisrael in America. And he collated stories there, the type of stories about Gedolei Yisrael that you'll never have heard. What do I mean that you'll never have heard? Because you read your standard Gadol biography, and it's normally the same type of story. He was a child prodigy, and at 7 his mother found him learning Rashba at 3 o'clock in the morning, and at 10 o'clock he was fahed on Shas Mishnayos. By 10 years of age, and by mitzvah he made a Siyum HaShas, and by Bechasta finished Zoya, and then Bavli Yerushalmi, and you're thinking to yourself, alright, I'm jolly glad he was like that, because there's no relevance to me then. It's not really mechayev me much. So there was a book written by Talmud Chacham, undoubtedly, where he managed to investigate and research lots of stories, as it were, to coin a phrase, that didn't quite make the news. Stories about the Gedolei Yisrael, particularly in their early years, which you'd be quite shocked if you read some of these stories. And he called the book, very profoundly, The Making of a Gadol. And his point was, precisely, in order to illustrate to us that sometimes when we read the Gedolei Yisrael books, they're a little bit misleading. Because the making of a Gadol is not about a boy who was born, and it was just, you know, he just breathed through Mishnayos, and he breathed through Gemara, and he breathed through this, and he breathed through that, and everything was just wonderful, and you know what, it became a Gadol Adon. That's not the making of a Gadol. If you can tell me the story about the Gadol Yisrael, who actually was known to have a fiery temper as a kid, and we know about the Gadol Yisrael who had nose as a terrible memory, and the Gadol Yisrael who didn't get on with his friends, and the Gadol Yisrael who wasn't interested in learning, and he overcame that, oh, suddenly you sit up and notice and think, well, number one, that's machai of me, and number two, it means there's hope for me. So be a chizuk and a machai at the same time. This book this book was enormously controversial. So much so there was a public burning of the book in Yerushalayim by a grandson of one of the Gedolei Yisrael in America, a different Gedolei Yisrael. And basically a ban went out on this book, and it was taken out of circulation, and I've personally never seen the book. Now, I'm not getting involved because clearly this was a matter for Rabbonim and Gedolei Yisrael to decide. But I think we all agree and we understand the logic behind putting out a book like that in the first place. It was seen perhaps as disrespectful. It was seen as disrespectful. It was seen so by people who have proper authentic Das Torah, and we leave the decisions that is to our Gedolim. Having said that, Rabbi Aaron Feldman, Rosh of Baltimore, has this book, a famous book called The Eye of a Storm, in which he incredibly takes on every controversy that has hit Klal Yisrael in the last 50 years and absolutely attacks it face on, is not scared whatsoever. Anything to feminism, to Zionism, to any controversy you could think of, he challenged. And he has a chapter about this in his book. You've seen the book, The Eye of a Storm? And he has a chapter in his book, and he writes there about biographies of Gedolei Yisrael. And I can't remember exactly the way he says it, but basically he also makes this point that, listen, it's true that for reasons that we do understand or we don't understand, it has been decided that biographies, therefore, should not include the early struggles and the misdemeanors of Gedolei Yisrael. Fine. Be that as it may, but he said you have to realize at least what you're losing out by not knowing it. It could be you gain more, but you're also losing something, and that is the misleading impression sometimes that the Gedolei Yisrael didn't have their struggle. And this is what we're learning about in our Gemara. But Rashi says the tzar that they recalled about the child who, the tzaddikim, who had to overcome the Yetzer Hara, that all of a sudden presents us a very, very different impression of Gedolei Yisrael. So, you know, it's true, we like our Gedolei Yisrael to be great heroes, to be all perfect. But imagine we would hear about a certain Godel who we're all very fond of, and we're, you know, growing up as a kid, he was the absolute rascal in Cheder. Didn't learn a word, was chutzpahdik, used to, I don't know, steal things from the local makolet. He was a right terror at home. And he turned his life around. I think the most famous story that we do know along that line is with who?
Oh, the Nitziv.
Very good. The story of the Nitziv. The great Nitziv, who was Rosh Hashiva of Volozhin, Chaim Volozhin's son, grandson. So remember when he wrote his famous sefer, what's his sefer? He wrote a commentary to the Shi'ultas. What's the Shi'ultas? Just that we have Mishnayos and we have Braisas. So we have also written by Tanoim, Shi'ultas, or Shi'ultas Rav Achai is later, Droshas, and he has a very, very lengthy commentary to it. And that was really his magnum opus. His Pirush of the Shi'ultas, which he called Ha'amek She'ilah. When he finished writing his Pirush, he made a big, big seudah. And people were quite surprised at the lavish nature of this seudah. And then he got up to speak and he said, listen, I must be honest. When I was a kid, I used to be running around doing everything but learning. The Nitziv. What does Nitziv stand for? Nun, Tzadi, Yud, Beis, Naftali, Tzvi, Yehuda, Berlin. And he said, I once overheard my parents saying, my father and my mother were crying together, Vos geit zayin, what's going to be with our Naftali Tzvi Yehuda? What's going to be with him? What's going to be with him? We're plowing in money, they didn't have much, but whatever we have, we're trying to give him a private tutor and he's not learning. And he said, I was so moved by my parents' concern that I, at that moment, decided to make a decision that instead of letting my life run its natural course, which he said probably would have meant that I would have been a respectful shoemaker, I changed my life around and looked, Baruch Hashem, I've just finished my great work, the Shi'ultas. He said, imagine I would have come upstairs after 120 to El Mabon, and they would have said to me, no, Naftali Tzvi, beautiful shoes, lovely shoes you made, but where are your Shi'ultas? Where's your sefer, Hamek Shalon? He said, I would have told him, what? I don't even know what Shi'ultas are. What is that? Who wrote it? What is it? He said, that's the question that Baruch Hashem I will not now have to face, because I didn't spend my life making shoes, I wrote the Hamid Shiva. So that is a story that we, I think, do know and is a famous story. So as I mentioned, it's very, very important to know. We mustn't be misled or misguided or mistaken. Gedolei Yisrael, not only did they have their struggles, to the contrary, it's precisely because they had their struggles, that's why they became Gedolei. But it was all too easy, as I once, I think I mentioned to you, there was a sign in my classroom in school. It says, people who don't make mistakes normally don't make anything. People who tripped, as the Pasuk says, Sheva Tzadik Yipoel Vakom. Sheva Tzadik Yipoel Vakom. It's a beautiful, beautiful story I heard after Rav Vosner was Nifta. So I heard one of the Hespedim in Rama Aleph, one of the Hespedim said, most incredible thing. It says, Rav Vosner, the Godel Ador, the Pasuk Ador, as we know, had a yeshiva, it was Rosh Hashiva. What was his yeshiva called? She was Chachmei Lublin. He was a Talmud in the original yeshiva of Chachmei Lublin, Rav Meir Shapira. And it got razed down to the ground, or at least it got emptied by the Nazis, Yimach Shom, and he, as were, re-established it in Bnei Brak. He said, there was a bocha in the yeshiva, a new bocha, and Rav Vosner said to him, Shalom Aleichem, what's your name? And he told him his name. A few days later, they were talking, Rav Vosner said to him, just remind me your name again. And this happened like a third time and a fourth time, and the Bach was a bit peeved. You can't actually remember my name, it's not such a long, it's not like Jalofsky or something, long, difficult name. But it's Karin, Geller, Mark, something like that, it's easy name, what's so hard, why can't I actually remember my name? So Rav Vosner told him the following. He said, I'll tell you the truth. He said, growing up, I had a terrible time learning, I couldn't remember anything. I didn't have a great memory. And it's very, very hard. All the children in my class were streets ahead of me in learning, and I was always falling behind, so I couldn't recall anything. I didn't remember anything. He said, until one occasion, as a young boy, I went into the shul, and there was nobody there. And I stood in front of the Aron HaKodesh. I opened the parochas, and I opened the Aron HaKodesh. And I begged the Rebbe Yishmael. I said, please, please, please help my memory improve. Give me a stronger mind that I should be able to recall my learning. I have no other wish. Achas Sha'alti. This is the only thing I want. Shifti Baveis Hashem. At the moment, I can't remember anything. It's so difficult for me to recall anything. Please grant me a memory that I should be able to recall my learning. So Rav Vosner told his bocha, Baruch Hashem, my tefillahs were answered. But I still have a bad memory. I just asked the Kodesh Baruch Hu to help my memory when it comes to learning. Other things, I still have a bad memory, so I'm very apologetic that I have forgotten your name a number of times. But I'll call upon him. So it's a very important point, very, very, very important point. All the stories that we read about Gedolei Yisrael, and we should read them, and they should be inspiring, but you should remember that the backdrop, the true backdrop to it, is really that what? They had their struggles. And they also undoubtedly tripped up and fell and had their ups and they had their downs and they had their disappointments and had their exhilarations. And to the contrary, Sheva Tzadik Yipoel Vakom, they fell and they got and took themselves up. Okay, back into our Gemara. So we have now the Rishoyim and the Tzadikim. So why do the Tzadikim see the Yetzer Hara as a Har Gavoya? And why do the Rishoyim see it as a Chutasairo? So as we're going to see, it's also Gemara coming up. Because the Gemara says that the greater a person is, the greater is his Yitzhara. Kodla Godl Mechaveiroi Yitzhara Godl Memenu. The greater a person is, the greater his Yitzhara is. Therefore, the Tzadikim see the Yitzhara as a Har Gavoya. That's also sometimes a misimpression that we have. We see a Godl Yitzhara and think, he's sorted. As we used to say in school, he's okay for himself. It's not true. We can be rest assured that Rav Chaim Kanievsky has an enormous Yetzer, much bigger than all of us put together. That's what the Gemara says. Kodla Godl Mechaveira Yitzray Godl Minenu. The Rasha, to the contrary, has a very small Yetzer. And yet, because he's not willing to fight, that's why he keeps tripping up. That's what the Gemara says. The Rosh sees the Yetzirah as a chutas hayra. The Yetzirah doesn't need to grow. Why not? You only need to put up a big battle if there's a lot of resistance. There's a lot of resistance, you bring out more troops. The Rosh doesn't resist, he just keeps on falling in, he's not willing to work. So that's how do they see the Yetzirah, therefore? As a chutas hayra. Nothing. It was a hair's breadth, and we just kept falling, and we kept falling, and we kept falling. So that's why the tzaddikim are crying, according to Rashi, because they're recalling the struggles. According to Marsha, they're crying because they no longer have the ability to overcome the Yitzhara. And the Rishoyim are crying because how was it that we tripped over? We were unable to get the better of a chutasayim. Says the Gemara, Va'af HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tomo imahem. So to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, wonders and is amazed together with them. Shenema, it's another pasuk in Zechariah. Koy amar Hashem tzvokes ki yipole beinai. What does yipole mean? Yipole is a lashon of pele, surprise. Ki yipole beinai sheiris ha'am hazeh b'yom mahim. Gam beinai yipole. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu, so too in my eyes will this be a wonder. As Rashi says, ki yipole beinai seifei dekro. It's the end of that very pasuk, where it says, Gam beinai yipole. So this pele, this wonder, where the tzaddikim are wondering, how did we get the better of the enormous Yetzirah? The Rishoyim are wondering, how are we not able to get the better? Kodesh Baruch Hu, as it were, is in amazement, kaviyochol, together with them. Bless you. Omer Ravasi. Yetzirah, bitchila, initially, doime, is comparable luchut shel buchya. What's a buchya? Says Rashi, achbish. Achbish is a spider. Shekoirin, irinia. French? French spider. Nachum, how do you say spider in French? Spider. Le spider. Or irinia. So a spider obviously means, which is very thin and small and weak. So that's how the Yetzirah initially appears. Like what? Like a chut of the buchya. I assume maybe means a spider's web. The web. But in the end he appears what? Ka'avoysos ha'agala. What's the avoysos ha'agala? Like the thick rope that you pull the wagon or the cow with. In other words, the Yetzirah initially is not such a big challenge. But then you get stuck in a rut, and you get stuck in a rut, and you get stuck in a rut. Imagine a person has Yetzirah to come late for davening. So in the beginning it's not such a big deal. But if he's doing it for 20 years, now it's like a voice to Yisrael HaGola. It's impossible. You tell him now to come 10 minutes early. It's like Kriyas Yamsa for him. Shenemar, as it says, Hoy Moishchei Ha'ovoin. The ones who are pulling the Averas, who's that? The Yetzirah. Bechavle Hashov, with ropes of Shov. What does Shov mean? Nothing. Nothing like this. This is Shemal Hashov. Initially, the Averas are being pulled by ropes of nothingness. Uka Avois Ha'agola Chato. And as ropes of the wagon is the sin. So it's a contradiction, meaning obey. Are they ropes of nothingness? Or are they ropes of the argola? And the answer is, they begin as a nothing and end up as avos shel argola, says Rashi. Ulebasoif, misha odom nimshach acharov. When a person is drawn afterwards, after the Yetzirah, Ma'at, a little bit, misgaber v'hoylech loy. It continuously strengthens. Misgaber, the root of the word is gvura. Continuously strengthens. Initially, it's just a little spider's web. But he falls and he slips and it just gets stronger and stronger and stronger. Says Rashi, Moishchei ha'avayim b'chavli ha'shov. Bitchilo, initially, ha'yu mevi'en ha'isoy aleihem. They would bring him, who's that? The Yetzihara, alidei chavolim she'inom shel klum, which are nothingness. And yet, how do they end up? V'kavoyis v'agola chevel avo. A thick rope. She'koishrim boy, that one ties with it. It's a poro, the cow, the machresha, to the plow. So obviously, if you want to tie up a cow to a machresha, to the plow, a spider's web is not going to do the trick. You have to take a thick rope. So the Yetzirah evolves. He morphs from a thin spider's web into nothing, into a whole big avoisishol machresha. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanon, Moshiach ben David she'osid lehigolois b'mehira b'yomeinu. So until this point we were talking about Moshiach ben Yosef. Now we're talking about Moshiach ben David. Moshiach ben David she'osid lehigolois, who is destined to reveal, be revealed b'mehira b'yomeinu, may be speedily nowadays. Oymer loy HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, She'al mimeni dovar, request from me something, ve'etein lecho, and I'll give it to you. She'nema, it's a pasuk right in the beginning of Tehillim, asapro el choik, ani hayoim yiledeticho. She'al mimeni ve'etno goyim nachalosecho. Says Rashi, Astapro el choik. Astapir dovor ze. I'm going to relate this particular matter. Liyois le choik ule zikorin. This will be a choik. Choik, by the way, we normally translate choik as a statue. We don't understand. Por al duma. But choik also from the word chakika. Chakika means to engrave. When you engrave something, as it's etched there and it remains there forever. So I'm going to relate to you something, l'choik or l'zikorin, something should be etched and l'zikorin recorded for eternity. Hayoim yeledeticho, hayoim agale lebriyos. Today I will reveal to humanity shebni ato, that you are my son, who's you, the Mashiach ben David. And it says there quite clearly, sha'al mimeno, sha'al mimeni. You can request from me whatever you like. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu offers the Mashiach, Mashiach ben David. Says the Gemara, V'kevan shera'o Mashiach ben Yosef sheneherag. Seeing as he, once he sees the Mashiach ben Yosef is killed, remember we're talking about the Mashiach ben David. Mashiach ben David is given this once in a lifetime proposition, request whatever you like. So he sees that Mashiach ben Yosef is killed. Oyma lefono. So he says, lefono ribbono shel olam, eini mevakesh mimcha elo chayim. The only thing I request from you is life. For who? Mashiach ben Yosef. He's requesting it for himself.
Yeah.
What is he requesting? Whether he shouldn't die?
Right.
So let's have a look.
It's
in the court. Yeah. So he says, "Eini mevakesh mimcha elo chayim." The only thing I request from you is life. Oy maloy chayim. Ad shaloi omarto kvar hisnabe olecho David avicho. Even prior to having you said this, David, your father or your ancestor, had already prophesied. Shenemo chayim shaal mimcho nosato loy. What does that mean? David HaMelech had already prophesied that what? That he would live. So you have requested that what? You should have life. This is a long-standing request. Your ancestor David HaMelech has already requested this. Says the Gemara, Dorash Rav Avira. Rav Avira made a drasha, v'itema, and some say it wasn't Rav Avira, it was Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Shivo Shemois Yeshloi Leyetza HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeshu La Yetza Hara, excuse me. Let's just briefly have a look. I'm not sure. Yeah. So there are seven names that the Yetzer Hara has. Now we always know that a name represents the nature, the essence of whatever it is you're talking about. So if the Yetzer Hara has seven names, then clearly he has seven facets to his personality. Like Abraham Shmulevitz writes in one place, the Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu had 10 names. So the Meir Rosh Yeshiva, Abraham Shmulevitz, explains he had 10 names because he was such a multifaceted personality that you needed 10 names to capture his essence. Like if I say, you know, this is a supersonic, turbocharged, weather permit, all different adjectives are needed. Why? Because there is no word that captures all the different properties of this particular machine. So Moshe Rabbeinu, Avdol Elef Avdol, it needed 10 names to capture his essence. So if the Sahara has 7 names, clearly that means there's so many different aspects to his personality, to the nature of the Sahara, you need 7 names. Now, the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Karai Ra, quote unquote. Evil, that's what he is, he's evil. Where do we see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls the Yetzer Hara Ra? Shenema, because it says, Ki Yetzer Leiv HaAdam Ra Min Urav. Pasuk Parshas Noach, referring to the mass corruption of society, and it says the Yetzer Leiv HaAdam Ra Min Urav. What does Ra mean? Evil Min Urav, from a young age. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers here to the Yetzer as Ra. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name for the Yetzer Hara. Moshe Koroi Oral. Moshe Rabbeinu refers to him as the Oral, uncircumcised. Why? Shenema, because it says, Umaltem, and you should, as it were, circumcise, as Oralas Levavchem, the Orla of your lave. What does that mean? When you circumcise, meaning you're removing something. So remove the Orla of the lave. What's in the lave that you want to remove? Yes, Hara. And it's called the Orla. So you see that Moshe Rabbeinu refers to him as the Orla. David Koroi Tommy. Where did David HaMelech refer to as a Tommy? Shenema Leiv Tohoir Borali Elikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created for me a pure heart. Michlal the Ikotomi. So obviously, if you say a pure heart, the opposite must be that there is a an impure heart. That's the Yetzirah. So he's referred to as the Tommy. Shleimai Koroi Soine. He called him the Soine, the great foe, the arch enemy. Shenema Imro'ov Sanecho. If your enemy is hungry, Hachileu Lechem. Give him bread. Ve'im Tzomoi. If he's thirsty, Hashkeu Mayim. Give him water. Ki gecholim atochoite al roishoi. Vashem yishalim lecho. Al tikri yishalim elo yashlimenu lecho. This is the whole drasha. It's in fact referring to Torah. Bread is a reference to Torah. Water is a reference to Torah. Be'ez Hashem, we'll see it in greater detail tomorrow. Thank you.